Hey guys, I'm Julian.
I'm Meg.
And together, we're Julian and Meg.
The Soft Spot.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, too. It's been so long.
I know. You have lavender hair.
I do.
It looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Very striking.
You also have new hair.
You just cut my hair.
I did.
And you did such a good job.
Thanks.
I feel like a new man when you cut my hair.
Thanks. I feel like a new lady every time I change my color. I like to keep it surprising. I like to, like, if it doesn't look like I'm in witness protection,
yeah.
I'm not into it. You know? Like, my hair colors are the timeline of my life.
Yeah, but it's like you witnessed a show in CBGB's where everybody died and that's why you're in protection. That's how hip your hair is.
Stop. You're an excellent flirt.
Thanks. What's the line in Hairdresser on Fire? You could something or you could save my life. The Morrissey. Anyway.
I'm really bad at picking out lyrics out of context.
Usually I'm really good at it, but I'm drawing a blank. But anyway,
my favorite part of the song is where he's like, the client was going to sue you, and I really felt bad for
you.
Yeah,
I know. I know. It's like, I feel like Morrissey doesn't feel much at all for most people, but he really felt it for his hairdresser.
Because yeah, that's a rough spot to be in.
But anyway, he... you know, that's one of those lines, and that song is one of those songs where people that don't like Morrissey make fun of the general vibe, right, is that he's like melodramatic and
right.
a sad sack and
yeah.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is a perfect example of him being super sincere about how much he loves his hairdresser and how important his hair is to him. And it's also a little tongue-in-cheek, because you know he's like also joking.
He's joking, but also everyone should take their hair so seriously.
Yeah.
Because look at him.
I know.
You never see a picture of that guy with a hair out of place.
Wouldn't it be funny?
And your hair is the accessory you wear every day.
Yeah.
That's why when people are trying to be cheap on their hair, I'm like, you wear that shit on your head. On your head.
Where did that...
Every single day.
Where did that idea even start that like you that your hair isn't the most important part of your appearance?
I don't know. It's like, it's wild to me that people want to like, you know, just be shitty and cheap about their hair, but then blow a bunch of money on shoes. I'm like, those are at the bottom of your body.
Exactly.
Your head's at the top. Your head's eye level, baby.
Your hair is your head shoes.
Exactly. That's where your money should be going. Your hair is your head shoes.
Yeah.
And you're fucking crazy if you're not treating it as such.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like your eye.
Also, you only have one hair. You have a million pairs of shoes. I mean, if you're anything like me, like, you at least have a couple pairs of shoes.
Right.
Or maybe you don't. I don't know. But you should throw some money at it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Absolutely.
Keep that shit fresh.
People are like, you know when you see ads for cheap LASIK? And people are like, that's crazy. Why would you, if you're going to skimp anywhere, don't skip on a laser shooting you in the eyeball, right? And then when it comes to your hair, they're like, but I'm going to go to Supercuts. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Well, no disrespect. I'm sure there are talented people at Supercuts. There are talented people in all tiers of the hair world.
I'm not trying to sound like a butthead.
But do a little fucking research. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like anybody who's going to get their hair cut. I'm sure it's possible to go a little more thrifty, but just know what you're getting yourself into.
Their issue...
Wow, this passionate hair talk just...
I think people are into it.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm into it. I wonder... One thing I've learned...
Your hair is the crown you wear every day.
You are a hairdresser, and you have told me that... Or you were a hairdresser, and you still do
it. I still am.
You still am. You still am.
But on... I still am, but
I still am an English major.
But on a private basis.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to spend $500, DM Meg online, and she'll come do your hair.
He's joking, but he's also not joking.
It's like we could like auction it off, like when you get to have lunch with a famous person. You're like $1,000, and she'll come to your house and do your hair. And I will come hang out and interrupt her while she talks.
And that's free.
I just do it because I love it. What I'm trying to get at is the salon itself,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it looks like or whatever their prices are, there are good stylists and bad stylists inside that hair salon. There's no way to know. It's just so crazy.
That's why Yelp is such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Yelp's great. I really don't even know how we landed on this conversation. It's soup. Keeping it soups organic today.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just do your research. Or if you see a cool looking person on the street,
mm-hmm.
where'd you get that haircut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they say a place, go, no.
If you
who?
See. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Who? Who is key?
Right.
And also, if you see someone with really bad hair, maybe also ask them so you don't play yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I love the idea of going up to somebody with a terrible haircut and be like, hey, who cut your hair?
Yeah.
And they're like, I knew this was a good haircut.
Who gave you those rad chunky highlights, girlfriend? Do let me know.
I like that it looks like stripes.
In the hair world, we have a term for that, and we call it peanut butter and jelly hair,
because
it looks like the
mean.
Bread and the peanut butter and the jelly and the bread and the peanut butter and the jelly.
Oh, it's like what's that stuff called? Goober? That,
yeah, exactly.
The peanut butter and jelly in the same jar?
All pretty undesirable tones, just one slapped right next to the other.
Yeah. They're like, how often do you ask to speak to a manager? And they're like, often.
And
you're
like,
okay, I know what to do. Well, we didn't sit down in these chairs to talk about hair, but it happened.
It happened.
I think that our listeners are like, absolutely want to hear what
everybody
you know about
hair.
Everybody
that's reached out to me has excellent hair.
Good.
Everyone that I know of that is listening to this podcast, and a lot of hairstylists do.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have had delightful online interactions with lots of hairstylists who listen. So... Hi, friends. I see you.
It must be nice for them to be able to just listen and not have to fake a conversation with us the whole time.
Because, man, when you are at a party and someone's like, oh, you do hair or you've done hair, it's like you're trapped.
Or if they're actually doing someone's hair and they're like, and my husband left me.
And you're a therapist and you're not getting paid for it and you're making them look good and you're on your feet all day.
They're like, can you give me therapy?
I nominate you all and myself for a Nobel Prize because that shit is no joke.
Or a Purple Heart.
Yeah.
So salutations to all of you. We salute you, hairstylists. Yeah. Your feet hurt and you do a good service.
And you're
like
making
teachers.
You're making the world a less fug place. You're doing the Lord's work. Anyway,
there's a pin or a shirt in Unfug in the World.
Yeah,
is a good hairstylist shirt. We should look into.
Well, Unfuck the World is a song by Angel Olsen. So
Unfug the World,
a little too close,
or it's perfect.
Yeah, that's
actually
true.
Okay. Well, we were talking about what we wanted to talk about today, and we came up with live shows. Do you guys go to live shows? We go to live shows.
We do. I felt like we've talked about TV shows that we used to love.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about music that we used to love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people have been to at least a couple of live shows in their day.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder how many people have never been to a live show. That seems almost impossible, but I bet they're out there.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
It's a lot with the crowds and crazy gun people. That's never not in my mind. I hate to take a dark turn with this.
Yeah, no.
But that's like a real thing you have to think about when you go to an event where there's a lot of people.
A live music show is an extreme experience, and it can be extremely good or extremely bad. So I can see how some people would just
opt out. I don't mean to make this dark, but let's all take a minute to to think about that and to think about how many concerts have been, you know, I know that's really dark, but I do feel like it's crazy to not acknowledge the things that are happening in the world right now.
Uh-huh.
And we touched on it and now we can go. but it matters to me. So,
I know. It's on your mind.
It is on my mind because I don't go to, I don't really do like festivals a whole lot anymore.
Yeah.
Like I don't do huge shows anymore. They make me feel pretty weird.
Yeah. I don't want to make people feel weird either, but even before shooting stuff, there was, you know, there's an element of danger at every live show.
Right.
And, you know, there's a certain amount of it that adds to the mystique of it and is kind of part of it. You know? I mean, in the worst case scenarios, you have like, you know, stage collapses or like the fire, the Great White Fire, which is terrible.
You said something about a stage collapsing, and I was at a show where a stage collapsed.
Oh,
but
yeah?
Nobody got hurt.
Oh, really?
Nobody got hurt.
It's like best case scenario.
It was best case scenario. It was a girl talk show.
Oh, yeah. Now, tell our listeners who aren't familiar with girl talk, but there are a bunch.
Greg Gillis.
What is girl talk?
He mashes up songs.
Mm-hmm.
Without licensing to do so, I believe.
He does not ask anyone.
I think he's from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But I have loved him since the first Girl Talk mashup I heard, which probably was in the early 2000s. I don't know if he is still actively making music, but his live shows are pretty much just him on his laptop.
Pressing play.
But those were some of the craziest shows I've ever been to, which is crazy.
What are a couple of specific mashups that he has done that you can think of?
I mean, he...
Just like name one or two that people can see what you're talking about.
He puts James Taylor next to...
Like into the same song.
Yeah.
He like layers
into
them.
A song. I feel like it was James Taylor and Ludacris mashed up at the same time, but it works.
I've seen and Fire and like, I've seen Butts.
Yes, exactly. And it's like this... It's genius.
Yeah.
It's so good. He's not a musician. He's like a mathematician. Because you're like on some next level genius shit to come up with mashups like that. I have all the respect in the world for people who like copy and paste songs in such a way that creates like a new genre, basically.
The first time I heard Girl Talk, I was like, this is so fun. I feel like I'm getting away with something.
Yeah.
It's great. And I didn't understand. And then I was like, how come you never... There's no album or anything. It's because there can't be an album.
Well, he does have albums, but I think that...
Like, you can't go buy an album at the store is what I mean.
I feel like there were hard copies, but...
Really?
I think so. Or I know that one of the last ones, he had to release it for free, technically, or by, like, donation only because he was using everybody else's music.
Yeah.
But anyway, that... To get on the topic of concerts, that was one of the wildest I've ever been to.
Why was it wild?
I think you know why.
But our listeners don't know why.
My best friend Chris and I. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Chris
is in Tokyo.
I know. Mm. At the one in the... I can't even remember what the venue was. It was in the Maritime Hotel
in New York
City.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Tokyo Ballroom or something like that.
Yeah.
It became something else. Anyway, when it was still the old one, we went and saw Girl Talk there like 10 or 12 years ago. And I took my shirt off.
What was it like going in?
And I lost it. It was pretty wild. It was like pretty much everyone was our age.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nose candy was happening.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't. Yeah. But I lost my shirt and it was raining and I like walked home.
It was raining in the show?
No, afterwards.
Oh, okay.
But I like walked home in my bra in the rain with my friend. And that is like one of my favorite memories of New York.
That's wonderful.
And those shows are like crazy. It's like the cardio of a lifetime, baby. Like you are just sweating your dick off.
Who needs Peloton?
Exactly. Honestly, I should just play more Girl Talk and just get wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, his stage collapsed?
His stage collapsed, yeah. He had like this, it wasn't the actual stage at the venue, but the like, he had like risers behind him. It was weird. I guess so more people could, because he was notorious for being like, everybody come up here and just
dance.
Like getting crazy.
Yeah.
Same thing
was
happened.
Was his laptop okay?
His laptop was fine.
Okay.
Same thing happened when I saw him at Fun Fest, which is also a thing. I don't know if that still happens in Austin, but that was like in 2005 or 6. And that was crazy.
It collapsed also?
He was on like a small stage there,
and
I don't know any of the terms for any of this stuff.
You are not a roadie.
But the like jungle gym thing, where some of the lights are, started to come down, and so everybody had to move.
It sounds like he should probably look into reinforced stages.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I don't think he tours anymore, but if he does, you'll catch me at a show. Without a shirt on.
Okay.
Me and my C-section scar are going to be ripping it up at the Girl Talk show.
So where would you rate that show? Like, why did you bring that show up?
I don't know. It was just, like, one of the most fun, crazy ones that I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's really no...
Just partying, like...
So, if it's your... If it's, like, one of your most memorable shows, mine, you know, because I wouldn't rate this one as my most... My favorite, but it was just... It just kind of blew my mind. My roommate in college, Flynn... Hey, Flynn. He was super into Primus. And Primus is a band for dudes that is fronted by Les Claypool, who's an insane bassist dude. And we all probably know who Primus is, or at least two
songs.
You know
what? I gotta admit, I can't think of what they sound like at all.
Really?
No.
We didn't bring our thing. We gotta play Primus, though.
Do we? I think the story's good enough.
Hey, babe.
No.
The look on your face just made me be like, we're fucking playing Primus. So I went to the show. It was at it was in New York. What's the one in 30th? Like Hammerstein? Is that?
Ballroom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all I remember is they came out and the thing was packed. I knew like three songs. It's one of those shows where you go because your friend is like, these guys are awesome kind mm-hmm. of thing. And it was... Beyond packed. I fought for the front just because I had like young male energy. Like I didn't even care about this band, but I was like crazy excited to be in a group of people.
Right.
So I fight for the front. Primus comes out. They're all wearing rubber masks. Oh, thank you.
See, that's the kind of thing I would have been like, hold it right there.
Wearing like a pig. Like I remember Les Claypool was wearing a pig face mask with an army helmet on.
Yep. Nope. Not.
Well, to be honest, me too. I was like, no. Why did I fight for the front for this?
You have like a legit phobia of people in masks, so...
No, that's not true. I have a legit phobia of... What would you call
costumed
them?
Costumed individuals.
Furries. Or like whatever,
it's
you know,
not
like,
just furries.
But it's not just costumes. It's like people, when you can't see the eyes and the head, mm-hmm. that's what I don't like.
All right.
You know? Like the Easter Bunny
yeah.
freaks me out. I think that's normal. I think he freaks everybody out,
yeah.
right?
Okay. I mean, yeah. We just got our Green Chef box last week.
I was not expecting it, and I was like, ooh, food.
Yeah. And we got the vegetarian box because we are a vegetarian household-ish.
We are. So you're not totally confused, Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. We got a box. It was vegetarian. It was
But you can awesome. Choose from a wide array of easy to follow lifestyles and select ingredients. They have, I believe they have everything from like... vegan, paleo, vegetarian, pescatarian, Mediterranean, heart smart, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, omnivore. I mean, you can really tailor it exactly to your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's kind of great because it takes a lot of the thinking and planning out of making a really great meal. You don't have to buy a ton of ingredients. There are awesome, flavorful recipes for your lifestyle. And you don't have to... do any planning, and that's amazing.
You
it's
know
such
how,
a time saver.
You want to know how good this stuff is? I fed it to a 5-year-old girl and a 4-year-old girl, and they ate it all.
They did eat it all.
That is all you need to hear.
That's a testament to how delicious and simple these meals are.
Because we had gotten the mac and cheese and peas box.
No.
No, it was a very sophisticated flatbread.
Yeah, it was flatbread and baked sweet potatoes, right?
Yeah.
Sweet potato fries.
And they loved it.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of amazing to make something in a short amount of time that you don't have to prepare a lot for, and the whole family is happy.
The packaging is easy to understand. As you know, I have cooked maybe 6 things in my entire life. I nailed this thing first try. That's how easy it is to use. The packaging is intuitive and great.
All the ingredients are pre-measured,
yeah.
which is a huge, huge time saver. And it also makes things so much less complicated when you're making something. But yeah, we loved it. We had a really yummy couple of meals out of that box, and I cannot recommend it enough.
For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/softspot. That's for $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us/softspot. You guys got to start with Green Chef. It's great. Who's feeling quippy?
We want to talk to you about Quip toothbrushes. And
heck, why not the toothpaste?
And the toothpaste. I love the toothpaste. And I am a bit of a toothpaste snob.
You are. I mean, if anybody knows toothpaste.
I do.
It's a Molloy.
I do. Yeah. Because I don't want to brag or nothing, but my dad is a dentist. And it's just this amazing electric toothbrush. It's created by dentists and designers. So not only is it a great toothbrush, it's very chic.
Yeah.
It's very, beautiful, you dare
emerge,
I say.
You can emerge from your Ferrari brushing your teeth.
It looks really good in a bathroom, which is a weird thing to say about a toothbrush, but it's true.
You know, you spend thousands of dollars making your bathroom look amazing, and then you just put some neon,
ugly toothbrush. What's wrong with you?
Get Quip!
This thing is gentle and sensitive on the gums. A lot of people brush way too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are just super abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has a built-in 2-minute timer, and it pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, which is helpful to get an evenly clean mouth.
Yeah.
Also, up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't evenly clean. Gross.
Ew.
Get your life right. There is a multi-use cover that mounts to your mirror, which is also adds to the sleekness of the whole thing. You don't have a gross, crusty toothbrush just laying on the edge of a sink.
Mm-hmm.
And the brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. That's nothing.
I know. It's amazing. And we've been using it since Quip.
For about a year now.
Yeah. Almost since we started this podcast, and we have not turned back.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm a huge fan. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association, which my father is a member of.
Ooh.
And it has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. We love it. They're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals, and Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/softspot right now, you can get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/softspot.
And if you're wondering, yes, I also pulse gently for 2 minutes and then I'm done. You don't know this? You don't know this?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, what about...
This is very much not my shit.
What about Winona had a big brown beaver? Does that sound familiar?
No. It sounds like the beginning of a very funny joke, though.
It's... You don't think this sounds cool, though? Okay, well, anyway, Flynn loves it, and,
good for him.
Listen to those vocals. What are you talking about?
Wow. Anyway.
This guy sounds like he works at, like, the midnight shift at a 7-Eleven, like that voice, but it's Les Claypool.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll stop playing it, because I can tell I'm annoying you. But,
I'm living for it.
So, they come out and start playing, and I don't know if you can tell how hard they rock, but they rock really hard, and so...
Anybody with a pig mask and an army helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crowd was so crazy that I couldn't lift my arms. My arms were stuck to my sides by other people. And let's be honest, by other men. And my feet were lifted off the ground by about probably a full foot. Like I was just like swaying in this sea of people. I couldn't move my arms and my feet weren't touching the ground.
This sounds like a nightmare.
It was awesome. It was so cool. I was just like, oh, you have to surrender because you can't do anything, you know?
Ooh.
So I just surrendered and just listened to this. I actually like them. So I was like loving
it. That's okay.
And you know, you don't have to think or do anything when your environment is just like, this is what's happening to you. Then you just kind of let it go. And
I like a
amazing,
fully immersive experience.
That's what
so
it was.
I can
it was
appreciate
fully immersive.
That.
And so when I left that show, I was like, thank you. Like, it was just awesome. It was great. So that's my most memorable, actually, because I wasn't ready for it. And then it was like the most intense experience.
That's pretty cool.
And I wasn't on drugs. I was so young.
I love whenever you're surprised by a concert, whenever it ends up being something when mm-hmm. you thought it would just be whatever.
I think I've mentioned this before on the show, but Gossip.
The Gossip.
I saw a surprise yep. Gossip show. Didn't know who they were. And then they blew me away.
Yeah. Beth Ditto's voice is insane. Whew.
She was like doing an Aretha Franklin cover, which takes balls.
Yeah.
And nailing it. Like, yeah. Everybody was like loving it.
She's
you know?
Like wildly talented.
Yeah. So that was another surprise one. What was one that you didn't know the band really, and then you went to the show and they won you over? Can you think of one of those?
You know what? I'm not a good person for that kind of thing because...
You know what's funny? Before we left the house, you were like, what about ones that have changed your mind? Like, you didn't know you liked them. And then you listened to it, and then you liked it.
I know, but
it was your topic.
I know, but I'm thinking about it.
And you're like, you know what? I'm not good for this stuff.
This one's a tough one for me. Okay. Because I am pretty bad about wanting to go see a show if I'm not super familiar or like... A fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think most people are like that. Yeah. Most people don't go to shows.
Okay, I will say there's one, and people might hate me for this. I was never a huge...
Hate's a strong word.
Yeah, I don't know. People get pretty fired up these
days.
Well,
is it Toby Keith?
No, it's not Toby Keith.
All right.
I, in 2009 or 10, I went to go see Prince at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. On the fence on Prince, huh?
Well... I just was not a passionate fan.
Right.
I appreciated what I heard, but mm-hmm. I never like did a deep dive of his stuff. And I showed up and I was the only person in all of Madison Square Garden not wearing purple.
Wow.
That's not an exaggeration.
Really?
I mean, there were women there in like custom purple velvet suits and like purple boas. It was insane.
Yeah.
And I felt like such a dick. I was like, of course he has like this army of purple wearing wonderful people
yeah.
who just ride for him so hard. And I look like... a dummy.
They were like, what are you doing here? You're like, I love the Prince.
I know, exactly. I felt like such a newbie.
Mm-hmm.
But that show was insane.
Yeah.
I should have known it would be, but I just, and after that, my appreciation and respect for Prince grew so much, and I wanted to know so much more about him as a person.
Yeah.
And not just hear more of his music, and he was pretty fascinating, and mm-hmm. he's just, he was an insane live performer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, I love this story. I did not know that this was a story you had.
Yeah.
And I love that the whole...
Surprise!
I love that the whole thing was that everyone was wearing purple. I think that's great.
Yeah, it was so fun. I mean, it makes sense. Like, when you go see The Cure, everybody is wearing, like, you know, dog collars and stuff. Like, it's an immersive experience. People get into it. They, like, are passionate about it.
Yeah.
Nobody else was on the fence about Prince.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like, we're fucking here.
I love those shows where people just dress like who they're going to see. You know?
I know.
Like, as I've seen Morrissey maybe, I think, 5 times, and it's just so funny because every dude is like, I'm Morrissey
like,
too.
I am going to take a picture of your outfit because you're saying that. And
well, I don't need a Morrissey show to look like Morrissey.
No, you don't.
That's a great story. And Prince changed my mind about Prince in a very unlikely way, which is the Super Bowl halftime show he did. You know, up until that point, I was a lot like you. I was like, I really like Prince, but I'm not. You know, and I know how much people respect him.
You just hadn't taken the time to do, like, a deep dive.
Yeah, I never, like, got high and listened to him on headphones.
Well,
you know?
And I think a lot of it is I didn't hear a ton of him growing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was listening to Chicago, as mm-hmm, everybody knows. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of Chicago.
Like a normal child.
Yeah, exactly. And I just was like, wow.
The Super Bowl halftime show, I know you don't care about football, but... The Super Bowl halftime show is notorious for being very hard to do well. It's like, you know, it's not, obviously, it's the least intimate experience you could possibly do as a show.
Right.
And I just remember Prince owning a stadium of people that were there to see something else in a way that was, he just completely transformed the place into a Prince show instead of a football game. It was incredible. And he, his guitar, I mean, people know this now.
Much like the patron saint of Houston, matron saint of Houston.
Uh-huh.
Beyonce.
Yes, Beyonce did a great job, but she also did a halftime show, but
and
she did not.
She was kind enough to invite, or it was Destiny's Child? I don't even know. Did she invite them, or did they?
Oh, the same way Timberlake invited NSYNC for his.
She was like, won't this be nice?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like they're so, I feel like the NSYNC guys just wanted to go to the game. And he was like, the only way I can get you in is if you are NSYNC.
Yeah.
And then Joey Fatone dusted off his moves. But yeah, Prince just blew that away. So I was like, yes, Prince. That's when I was like, Prince is next level. You know, mm-hmm. And which is, it's so obvious, everybody knows that, but then you have to see it for yourself and then
right.
You go, yeah, okay. All right. So those are change your mind ones. What was your, did you ever have a disappointing show where you're like, I thought this was going to be great and I can't believe this is the show?
I can't.
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, I would like you to go first. I'm going to have to think on that one.
I'm going to have to go with, there was, this is almost sacrilegious to say, but I went to see David Bowie at the Camden Waterfront in 1993.
I figured this would be the story. Yeah.
And Nine Inch Nails opened for him,
mm-hmm.
and was amazing. And I think I already talked about that, right? Didn't I talk about this on the show? And then it wasn't that he was bad. It was he was doing Earthling, and it was just rough to really get into Earthling. And he was like doing Earthling. He wasn't worried about anything else.
Right.
So that was a tough one. But
it's always hard whenever you go see any band and you have the albums or the songs in mind that you love and that have touched you so much. And they're like, we're not doing that.
It's a recipe for disaster. That's what I love about live performances, though, is that literally anything can happen and people are taking risks, mm-hmm. or they should be anyway. Mm-hmm. If they're not Jimmy Buffett, they're taking risks. And so another example of that, same kind of thing happening where the headliner is in an experimental place in their career. So their album isn't exactly what everybody wants.
Right.
And then their opener is like hungry as shit and just made the best thing of their lives.
Right.
So Nine Inch Nails had just made Downward Spiral, which if you know is like their biggest album. And when were we at the same show? Was this the one we were at the same show when The Faint opened for Bright Eyes? At Webster Hall?
No, I don't think.
That's probably before you got to New York, actually.
I did go to a Bright Eyes show where The Faint was there.
Oh, so it was the same tour.
It was the same tour,
but I was in New York and
you
were wherever you were, Austin or something.
Houston, I believe.
So The Faint just like, that was one of the best live shows I've ever seen. And then Bright Eyes came out and did that album that like, even his fans weren't into.
Yeah.
And I, like, people were just, like, walking out. And he, after, like, the second song, he's like, if you're here for the hits, you can go fuck yourself. And I was like, I'm leaving. Because he was so petulant about it.
Yeah.
He was like, don't let it get to you. If you're going to do an experimental album, don't get mad.
Yeah.
If it doesn't.
You can't expect everybody to hop on board.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Absolutely.
Bowie wasn't like, get the fuck out of here if you don't like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. So I don't know if those are disappointing, but they were shows that didn't go the way they were supposed to.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't think of any. I will say that I was out at this place called Kinfolk in Williamsburg, mm-hmm. like three years ago, something like that.
Kinfolk, like family.
Kinfolk Studio.
Yeah,
and. I was there for Sade Night, which I believe is something they still do. And it's amazing. And literally, they have a disco ball going and they just play Sade all night long.
Wow. I just saw a picture of Sade like from this week and she is flawless still.
A perfect goddess.
Yeah.
Nothing about her has changed. She's just as beautiful
and
as
she's
ever.
She's like 60 or something or whatever it is. And she looks 25.
Yeah. So Sade Night, highly recommend if it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
So fun. If you're a Sade fan, even if you're not a Sade fan, which if you're not, you're crazy.
Right.
It's amazing. So I'm there with my friend Akua, and Akua tells me that she got a text from her friend who is like a manager or something at Brooklyn Bowl. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Usher's across the street and he's about to do a secret show and nobody knows.
Wow.
Like nobody knows. And I was like, are you sure? And she was like, I'm totally sure. So we went over and it was like a Tuesday or a Thursday night, like totally random. Mm-hmm. And we pay the like $5 cover to get in. And we're just standing around. There's like four or five of us. And we're like, is this really going to happen? And all of a sudden, Usher comes out with the Roots playing. Backing him up.
Wow.
And it was insane.
I bet. But I don't even really like Usher, but that would be exciting.
It was so fun. Yeah. It was one of the best surprises. Like, he's so talented. He's such a good singer. He's such a good dancer. Like, everybody was dancing their dicks off. It was crazy. But about 2 hours...
Is that the night you lost your dick?
It is.
Oh, man.
I know, it's crazy.
So it was a bittersweet memory.
It was. About 2 hours in, Akua's like, Usher, let us go home. She just was like, Usher, my feet are tired. Usher, let us go home. He just was like, I have all of you people here. And everybody was losing their minds. It's like another level of energy when nobody anticipated this happening. Yeah. And this like insane surprise show is going on. And it's like hit after hit after hit.
He's one of those.
The energy, like, we just could not keep up. We could not. It was a weekday. We weren't ready for it. I mean, it was amazing. It was super memorable. But towards the end, I was like, oh, man, he's not going to stop playing anytime
soon. And then he's like,
so we left after like 2.5 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was still going?
It was such a long show.
At the end, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, Lil Jon. Yeah. And everyone's like, no. We can't.
But that was one of the most like exciting, memorable shows for me. I almost forgot about that. That was so
fun. He always sings about doing it all night, and you assume it's sex, but it's not.
He's
it's
not playing.
Surprise concerts.
Yeah. So that was amazing.
He's like the Bruce Springsteen of R&B.
He just kept going. I was like, shit, he's got so much energy. I cannot imagine, like, we're all just out here dancing and he's singing and dancing, mm-hmm. and like, you know, breaking hearts at the front of the room, and I'm just like, how does this man have the energy? But it was an incredible show.
Did he close with the song My Feet Hurt Too, y'all?
Oh my god, dad, I can't with you. So basically I had a perfect night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Started the night with Sade Night at Kim Folk and ended the night with a Secret Usher concert at Brooklyn Bowl.
That's an incredible night.
Yeah.
I wanted to correct myself. Her name is not Sade. That's the name of the band. And
right.
I don't want to sound like an idiot saying Sade looks great.
Right.
It's not her name. I actually don't remember her name. Do you? I don't.
Isn't it Sade?
I don't think
it
so.
It is Sade.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh,
it is.
I thought that was the name of the band.
I was like, am I crazy? Yeah, her name is Sade.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. And she doesn't need a last name.
No, Batch. She does not. It's Day. Her name is Sade. Okay. What show? I just love live shows. I mean, it's like you really have to. There's no substitute for them.
No, there isn't.
It's so the anticipation is great. And,
well, that's why I kind of love a surprise show, because it's like the feeling of this one night. You thought it was going to go one way, and mm-hmm. it went a totally different way.
The only surprise show I've ever been to was Wolf Parade, which probably doesn't strike a chord with a lot of people, but they're great. And I was eating pizza across the street from Webster Hall's on 11th,
mm-hmm.
and they were a friend of mine texted me, and he was like, "Wolf Parade's about to start. Do you want to come?" And I was like, yeah.
Well, that's not the same as a surprise show.
No, it was a surprise show.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They weren't billed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's boring for everyone, because unless you love Wolf Parade. What is the show that in all of history that mm-hmm. you wish you could have gone to? What band or, you know, whatever? Do you
I
think
mean,
you,
David
you wish
Bowie.
You could, yeah.
But
which one?
But not
Earthling?
Not Earthling David Bowie.
No.
You know, theatrical Aladdin Sane or mm-hmm. Hunky Dory or the Berlin Trilogy. Really anything.
What was it? Midnight? What's that?
Let's Dance.
What's
80s Bowie, Give It To Me, all of it.
Yeah.
But just not really 90s Bowie.
Well, his Diamond Dogs tour was awesome.
Diamond Dogs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, 90s Bowie is like the only Bowie that I would have seen. And he didn't really perform in the 2000s.
No.
He did one. There was like he played a show in Terminal 5 in like 2011. I don't know.
Want to listen to The Soft Spot a day early? Download the Himalaya app and follow for exclusive first access. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and some future faves. Whether you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has got your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters some love with Himalaya's tip jar. Tips are welcome. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and we're adding cool new features every day. Go to your app store, download Himalaya, that's Himalaya, although I already know that you knew how to spell that, and don't forget to follow The Soft Spot once you're there.
Light some sage and pop your popcorn. Drag comedian Roz Dresfeles is getting spooky on Starburns Audio. Though far from an expert on the paranormal, Roz explores her curiosity of things that go bump in the night with celebrity guests, psychics, and everyday people.
Roz Dresfeles is a drag queen comedian, host, writer, and my best friend, just kidding. But he is a male actress known as the Bargain Bin Beauty. She loves to ask her friends to tell her a ghost story, and her guests have talked about shadowy figures, visiting them at night, hearing door slams, creepy voices, and personal ghost hunting tales. Check out stories from Sam Pancake, Deborah Wilson, Celine Luna, and many more.
Roz will also share her many personal experiences with the spirits, play fun games, EVPs or EVPs, and read stories from listeners.
Don't be scared. Subscribe now to be sure you don't miss a single episode on Himalaya, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to spooky podcasts.
I'm glad you bring up Terminal 5, because even if you have never been to New York City,
what a shit
it's
venue.
A giant concrete box.
With pillars everywhere,
yeah,
and you can't see anything. And there are all these 16-year-olds that are asking you to buy them beer, and it's just one of my least favorite venues.
It's like, what if...
I've skipped shows because I just can't get into that.
Like, I don't know who pitched Terminal 5, but they were like, you know how people hate atmosphere?
And you know how people, like, love walking all the way to 11th Avenue?
You sound like such a meme.
And there's nothing but, like, a random Audi dealership, and it's also like, who's walking over here and buying a car? Like, it's in the butthole of Manhattan.
It's so far over that you almost buy an Audi when you're leaving, because it's easier than trying to get home by walking.
You might as well buy one, because the car service from over there, because there are no trains, it's insane.
It's crazy. It's a bad experience. I got to see, I think I told you this, Bowie at the Electric Factory in Philadelphia, which is a tiny, it's like 2000.
Yeah.
Because he said, I'm only going to play this new album that no one is really into. And so nobody went. And then he played like, he walked out and played Quicksand by himself with on an acoustic guitar, and then played like six huge hits and promised he wasn't going to do that, and then rewarded his fans for showing up. And then he did the album, and it was an awesome experience. And I was like, I don't know, 30 feet from him. It was awesome.
I can't.
It was great. This is when he had the high top fade. It was pretty great.
I love that.
So Bowie is your answer.
Yeah. Also, I wish the Cardigans would do a little touring. I know Nina Persson plays shows.
You know, I saw them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm old. Old wins for once.
It's fine. Nina Persson plays shows in like Sweden, but I'm like, hey, girlfriend, come back to America.
They just reunited for like five shows.
And bring all your hot friends.
Yeah, really.
AKA bandmates.
Oh, man. What if you just like accidentally fell into an orgy with the Cardigans?
I'd stay as long as I was welcome.
I'd be like, why don't I have seven dicks?
Oh, man. Those Swedes.
Mine, I guess, would be, it's a toss-up, but it would either be obviously 1987 or 86 Guns N' Roses. Sorry to be so predictable, but it is Axl Rose's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Axel.
And, who's woke.
Hashtag
and so he gets a happy
Axel.
Birthday. He
yes,
gets a
he
happy
does.
Birthday because he hates what's going on with the country in the right way.
Yeah. And if you have any kind of platform whatsoever, or mm-hmm. even if you don't, you should be speaking up about every injustice that you
yes.
see.
And he's very outspoken about it. And I was shocked about that. And as we mentioned before, he has a lot of fans to lose by choosing that side.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there are a lot of, I'll just call them rednecks out there who love Guns N' Roses.
Just going to call a spade a spade. Yeah, no, I'm sure he's lost some people.
And it was Duff's birthday yesterday.
Wow.
I didn't even know their birthdays were
day. Birthday buddies.
That's the
cutest thing.
And online on Instagram, they both are like posting birthday shots of each other. It's really cute.
That's really.
It's nice to see two men that should definitely be dead still be alive and healthy and wishing each other happy
I know.
Birthday.
You know what is funny? Every time I have like the occasional cigarette or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe one too many drinks, I always rationalize it by being like, Axl Rose is still alive.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
I mean, Duff was way worse. Duff was drinking handles of vodka every day and doing like 3 8 balls. And, you know, his liver or his pancreas failed.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
If your pancreas fails, it's time to. Yeah. But he fixed it. Anyway, happy birthday. Guns N' Roses 86, 87.
We know
or,
you're listening, Axl.
Yeah. Or, oh, God. It's
what would
rough.
You do if we got him on this show? I don't think you'd be able to talk.
I wouldn't be able to talk.
I think you'd literally shit
any
your
of
pants.
Them. Any of them. Okay. If Axl / Duff, if any three of them were in here right now, I would be shaking.
No shade at all, if any three of them.
What do you mean?
Well, there have been other members that...
Well, Izzy's like... Yes, I would feel the same way about Izzy Stradlin, but he disappeared in 91. And Steven Adler is a sad story. He's still alive and doing well, and he's healthy, but he's like, he got kicked out of the band early for drug use.
Oh, so, I thought you were going to say he was a Republican. I was
no,
like, huh?
I don't think any of them are Republicans. But yeah, I would just sit here and shake.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to talk.
Yeah.
You would have to do all the talking.
I get that. No problem.
I wish I thought of this more before I said it. I guess, you know, I'd want to go back to like the late 60s probably mm-hmm. and see someone like a Velvet Underground at a, you know, a small factory, yeah, something
yeah.
like that. I would want to, or Talking Heads, CBGB's type
yeah.
show. That would be something I wish I would go see.
Same with me.
And that's it. Well, if you haven't gone to a live show in a while, you should go because it really it makes you feel alive. Oh, this is what I was going to say. As you get older, the standing around does weigh you down.
Yeah.
It's like these bands that take forever to come out and all that stuff. It's like, and your feet are killing you by the time they start.
I remember I used to be like, I don't want to go to a venue where there are chairs. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And now whenever I go to a venue with chairs, I'm like, what? There are chairs?
Yeah.
And if they're padded, I'm super about it.
I know. That's why I'm like, I hope the magnetic fields come back around because that is a sitting down show.
I went and saw Angel Olsen at Town Hall in New York mm-hmm. With Michelle, which I believe was a game-changing one for her because she had never heard of her. And
yeah.
she was like, this is amazing. And I was like, I love watching this in this like spooky-ish old theater with
yeah.
this cushy seat.
Yeah.
Comfortable.
Can I bring up our next show that we're definitely going to?
Yeah.
We are going to go see Bikini Kill,
yeah.
which won't have seats.
But we're also, we're going to go see Bikini Kill, and we're also going to go see Broken Social Scene, and a lot of good shows are coming. One quick concert that I really loved
okay.
that was amazing, Steve Martin and the Steve Canyon Rangers.
Oh,
also
yeah, that's
at Town
great.
Hall in New York. I believe it was in 2012,
mm-hmm.
11 or 12. What an insane show.
Yeah.
Also, definitely was the...
Panties were flying.
Mine were. I was definitely the youngest person there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't... It was all, like, old bluegrass dudes
yeah.
and me. So I was like, oh.
And they were like, oh.
That was an amazing show.
That's awesome. In that vibe, you just reminded me of... One of the most wonderful memories I have, which is walking through Washington Square Park one day, and these, like, it was about four guys, maybe five, and they were doing the, like, this was in late 90s,
mm-hmm.
and so it was before, like, the clap and stomp, oh, like,
yeah.
All those bands came out, like, 5 years later. But
Karen coined that term?
Yeah,
clap and stomp bands.
Yeah, she clap clap stomp stomp needs to. She goes, that's a rap on the clap clap stomp stomp.
Karen Kilgariff.
She's got away with words. She's a writer. So they're called the Hackensaw Boys, and they traveled in an old, like a 60s school bus all over the country, and they were like, he was literally playing like the washboard.
I love that.
The banjo, you know, fiddle, the whole thing, and they were just playing in Washington Square, and I've never seen so many people dancing. I mean, people like loved these guys, and they were dressed like overalls with no shirt and like hayseed sticking out of their mouths. I mean, it was amazing, right? And the energy was just incredible. And then 2 years later, I went to go visit my dad in North Carolina, and I saw a little tiny poster on a tree that was like, Hackensaw Boys are playing at the what's the movie theaters that have food and beer? Asheville Brewing Company. And they were playing there, and I went to it, and I thought I would be disappointed. There was like 8 of them. They were like Arcade Fire, but bluegrass. And the dancing, and it was just, you know, the feverish surprise is like the best.
Yeah.
You know, when you just experience something live and you don't... live music is just so exciting, especially when you get close to it and everybody else is as into it as you are and you're dancing. There's really nothing better.
I know. I know that I love going, full goth mom.
Oh, yeah.
For a Cure show. Mm-hmm. That's something.
Yeah.
Also, it's crazy to not go see the Cure when they tour because...
he still sounds like an angel.
He does still sound like an angel.
He no longer looks like Ben Affleck, but he does sound like an angel.
He does. And
eventually Ben Affleck will look like Robert Smith.
I think he's well on his way.
Yeah.
They're so good live still. And I can't imagine that they would be that interested in touring a whole lot more.
Right.
Because how much more money do they need to make?
Right.
And also, it can't be easy.
No.
Yeah.
Speaking of live shows, I always forget to do this, and I'm going to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in Madison, Wisconsin, the 15th and 16th, I am performing at Comedy on State, and the next weekend I am at the Aspen Wheeler Festival, which is like a comedy festival at the Opera House. And it's going to be great. So I never promote my shows. I feel like people forget that I do stand up, and that's okay. But I'll be there.
Yes. And that's Valentine's weekend, right?
It is.
And for that one.
I didn't talk to you about this, and we can just edit this part out after. It doesn't matter. but I'm thinking of promoting the Madison weekend by just doing pictures of me and you and guilting everyone that I'm leaving you on Valentine's Day to go do these shows. So they have to come out.
He is. It's true. Yeah. You are. But it's fine. You know. Duty calls.
It's a Hallmark holiday. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And do yourselves a favor and go to a live show.
Exactly.
You really should. It's worth it.
I really want to hear from people. If you have been at any of the shows we have talked about,
oh, yeah.
Please
or
let me know.
Or seen any of the people that we
yeah.
have mentioned.
If you know of any good shows coming up.
I have a question about live shows from other people.
Yes.
If you go to see a band that has a new member and you were like, it's not going to be the same, tell us if it was good or not good. Like how the lead singer of Journey now is the guy that they found doing karaoke Journey. Is supposed to be amazing.
Just wild.
But like if you've seen Journey with that guy and you loved it, I want to hear about it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, tribute bands. I want to know if tribute bands are fun. I haven't been to a tribute show.
Well, I think we've got an episode coming up about a cover.
Oh, that's right. That'll be our
covers.
Next.
I'm a passionate
lover of covers.
Lover of covers. love a good cover.
Thank you so much for listening.
We love you.
We'll be back next week probably with a guest.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe it'll be Axel.
Probably not.
I'm going to reach out.
Okay.
I'm going to DM him.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
The Soft Spot.
Daphne! It's a good show.
This podcast was brought to you by Starburns Audio, produced by Land Romo, and was engineered by Matt Brousseau. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.